Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the Holy Gospel, as you have heard read on this, the Epiphany of our Lord. Our theme this morning, God leads, wise men and wise women follow. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, so here we are, 2019. The world has come a long, long way, hasn't it? There's been a wonderful advances in medicine, in science and technology. But remember, always remember, with human achievement, with human blessings, come the pitfalls. As we enter 2019, did you know that there are millions and millions of people all across this globe who are absolutely certain that there is no God? Now I'm going to offend some of you. With your cool smartphones, smart people are discovering themselves. And so they have discovered that God is no longer necessary as they retreat into their own world of texting and whatever social media is out there. They're in their own little fantasy world. They are their own God. Therefore, you may have discovered that a smart man or woman with a smartphone isn't necessarily a wise man or woman. Today is the festival of our Lord's Epiphany. And this morning, you'll hear that God leads, wise men and wise women follow. Which now raises a question for you. Who is the wise man or wise woman? So today we'll look at three possible choices. Actually, there will be four as we close. But first, there's King Herod. King Herod's a wise guy. Perhaps it's the well-educated priest and scribes, the teachers of the law. Maybe they were the wise men of the day. Then again, as you look at our crush scene today, you'll see that Jesus is no longer in the manger, no longer in the stable, but he is now surrounded by the Magi. We hear today of the Magi from the east. They were truly wise. In reality, dear ones, they were walking universities. Today, our purpose for each and every one of you is to know the difference between godly wisdom and sinful smarts. So then, God leads. Wise men and wise women follow. So let's begin today with good old King Herod. King Herod was a smart guy, shrewd as a snake. He lived a very brutal life that's really beyond description. Herod knew how the world worked, that's for sure, and he took full advantage of it for his own personal enrichment. History shows us that Herod overcame his enemies in two ways. First, there was the old-fashioned way. If you disagreed with him, you were butchered, you were killed. But the second way is that he bought you off. Sound familiar? Our politicians today are no different. The Jewish religious leaders, they opposed his kingship. So what did Herod do? He built him a grand, magnificent, beautiful temple. The political elites of Palestine, they opposed his kingship. So what did he do? He butchered 45 prominent families. All of them gone. And then there's Aristobulus. Aristobulus was his brother-in-law and his chief opponent. So Herod invites him to a swimming party in Jericho. He bribes Aristobulus' bodyguards, who promptly hold Aristobulus underwater for an extended period of time. And then Herod conducts a grand funeral for his dead brother-in-law. How did King Herod fare against the newborn king of the Jews, born in Bethlehem? How wise was Herod concerning Jesus Christ? Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." Right. Well, isn't that interesting? Herod is eager to find the newborn king of the Jews and to worship him. Matthew later tells us, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he learned from the Magi. You see, Herod used his smarts to find when and where this little rival king was to be born. Yet Herod's sole purpose was to destroy the newborn king of the Jews. Herod was smart, no doubt about it, but he was biblically stupid, spiritually lost, eternally damned. So this brings us to the teachers of the law, the religious elites of the day, if you will. They were smart men, well-educated priests and scribes. These were the men who knew the scriptures inside and out, the Old Testament, as we know it. As a matter of fact, they knew it by memory. Now, they were very eager to tell King Herod where the king of the Jews was to be born, their Messiah. He was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, only 6 miles to the southwest of Jerusalem. A very easy walk, by the way, because it's all downhill. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd to my people Israel. The teachers of the law certainly knew Micah chapter 5, verse 2. They had it memorized. Oh, but these wise ones of Israel, were they really, really that smart? Their knowledge of the scriptures, dear ones, revolved around do's and don'ts. No mercy, no grace, no forgiveness. Either you did or you didn't. When it came to Jesus, their Messiah, do you remember they were ignorant? They were lukewarm. They were indifferent. And ultimately, they murdered him. Biblically smart, yes. Spiritually lazy, for sure. Eternally damned, probably. So this brings us now to the Magi. Now, for the good news, of course. The good news is the Magi, the Gentiles from the East. There were truly some wise men, some genuine wise men in Matthew chapter 2. They were the Magi. Now, we don't know exactly where they came from. Legend is legend, but Scripture doesn't tell us. But they probably came from Babylon. We don't know how many there were. Just because there were three gifts doesn't mean there were three Magi. But we know that there were probably more than two, for a single man to travel by himself was unheard of. We don't know anything about the star that appeared and led them to Jerusalem. But this we do know, dear ones. We do know that they are Gentiles. We do know that they were waiting for the birth of the Jewish king, the long foretold Messiah. We do know that they came to worship the infant king. These men were truly wise. They had heard the good news of the coming Messiah from the Jewish scriptures. Remember, these men were surrounded by Jews during the exile, and more than likely, This was passed down to them from Daniel. As a matter of fact, these men were probably astronomers, of whom Daniel was placed in control of by King Nebuchadnezzar. So these men are descendants of these men who had learned all of this from Daniel. You see how God works? God's ways are very mysterious sometimes, but we see the result, don't we? The Magi were truly wise, for they listened to God's word. They listened to the scriptures. They knew it was the truth. So these men were led. They were led by God to the only begotten Son, the King of the Jews. And there they worshiped Him. The Magi were biblically wise, spiritually blessed, probably eternally saved. So Isaiah tells us in our Old Testament reading this morning, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples." That was your situation. That was my situation, according to our fallen human nature, prior to your baptism and prior to my baptism. We were living in darkness. But now each of you have been enlightened by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the spiritual situation here at Zion. Or is it? Sometimes the darkness is pretty obvious, isn't it? Whether we want to admit it or not, and it doesn't matter what society says, society isn't God, even though people make society their God. We know what adultery is. We know what murder is. We know what stealing is. We know what gossip is. We know that we are not to covet anything of our neighbors. We know that we are not to abuse this temple, for you have been claimed by your Lord. And therefore, when we abuse our bodies with drugs and alcohol, how about refusing to come to church? We know what the law tells us, that we are to come and we are to worship Him. When we come to church, we are to repent of our sins, which you have already done, and you have heard the absolution. Your sin is forgiven. That's the importance of coming to church, to hear that your sin is forgiven. It's not held against you. The light has come into the world, and the light has died for you, and He has risen for you, and He's coming again for you. But even more than that, there are many who refuse to come to church to partake of the free gifts given. Today, many of you will receive body and blood, a free gift for the forgiveness of your sins, the strengthening of your faith unto life and salvation. This is what God does for you here in this place. But your pastor hears this quite often. "Pastor, I'm okay. I have no issues." Oh, it could be worse. Really? Yeah, it could be worse. It's called hell. "Oh, I know that there's a God, but, you know, I'm actually a pretty good person. I've actually really done nothing wrong against the law. I haven't murdered anyone. I haven't committed adultery. I haven't taken anything. I haven't said anything bad about anyone ever." Liar. "And I haven't coveted anything." That, dear ones, is darkness. That is a deep darkness that blankets many, many Christians today. And it's a thick darkness. These people are biblically ambivalent, spiritually fickle, eternally condemned, possibly. All we can do is pray that they repent of their sins. And in their repentance, the Lord will welcome them back. He will be as the prodigal, the father who runs and embraces and throws a big party. He feeds and He forgives. Pray that the Spirit will convict them and lead them back to the light, the true light. This world isn't the light. The smartphone isn't the light. Anything in this world will lead us away from the truth of God's Word. That's what Satan does. since we know that he, the newborn king of the Jews, is your king, we know that he is the light of life that destroys that darkness. Thanks be to Jesus. So, dearly beloved, as we now close, Epiphany is the Gentile Christmas. Merry Christmas. For on this day we remember, as you heard in our scripture readings this morning, that God now welcomes the Gentiles. You are an heir of the kingdom because of God's mercy and grace. And the Christmas present that you have received isn't a smartphone, isn't a Tonka truck or a green or red tractor. No, it's something much more valuable, much more precious than gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gift is bound up in a child lying in a manger, born in Bethlehem. He is wrapped up, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he is the person. He is the person of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. He is your light of the world, and all wise men and all wise women will follow him. Follow him where? Where do you follow your shepherd king? Well, he will lead you right into his kingdom, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of life forever with him. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.